Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net explaining why the paranormal is normal. And this week my topic is praying in tongues, otherwise known as the gift of tongues or glossolalia. At first encounter it may seem very strange, almost ridiculous, but believe me, it is very meaningful to those who practice it. It's normally part of special services in charismatic or Pentecostal churches where the religious sense is supplemented by various techniques to bring about a trance state in which a newcomer may be induced to quietly produce unintelligible childlike speech, which sounds a bit like this: Shime Bala, Shoa Bala, Himbadala, Hamme Balala, Papadala. There, on the face of it, very strange. So the question is why? Why do people hear about how wonderful it is and then go out of their way to learn how to do it? The answer is that it can bring on a profound spiritual ecstasy and a deep sense of closeness to the Lord, which will always be remembered. This produces a very special feeling of camaraderie and belonging to that church, where there is a special homely and friendly atmosphere that is very difficult to describe. It is the first initiation that can be very difficult, which is generally not done during a church service, but done in a small prayer meeting, which could be highly charged emotionally. So now let me introduce my guest, who was first a popular singer and then changed direction to become a minister. He came from Wales. His name is Stephen Evans and was ordained into the Church of England, but then realised that he wanted to practice his faith in the way of the early Christians. So here's Stephen. Hello there.
No, it's fine. It's nice to talk with you.
So now, perhaps we could talk this afternoon a little bit about charismatic churches and, in particular, speaking in tongues, which I believe you do on a fairly regular basis at your church there.
Yep. We do speak in tongues, and I'm very pleased that I do speak in tongues. Yes, it's a tremendous asset to the spiritual life.
Yes, I believe it is. I have to say I'm not a very religious person myself. I don't go to church regularly, but I always have admiration for people who do go to church and so on. But I have been interested in speaking in tongues and healing as well, which I believe some people do at your church.
Yes. I describe myself just out of interest as someone who's not religious also. I make a distinction between being religious and having a relationship with God through his son Jesus. You know, I think that religion causes division and all sorts of problems and difficulties. And I'm not particularly interested in religion, but I am interested in a relationship with God through his son Jesus.
Yes, well, that's really what faith is all about, what church going is all about.
Yes, and, it ought to be, yeah.
And, of course, when one looks at, say, the Church of England and the established churches, they don't use speaking in tongues, and they miss a great opportunity, I believe, in that the emotion and the feelings of speaking in tongues greatly adds to people's experience in church, experience of God.
Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting one that, you know, there's a remarkable and not well-known fact regarding tongues. And the recent charismatic move that we've had, let's say in the last 20 years or so. One of the churches in Britain that spearheaded that move, you may have heard of the Alpha Course, for example.
No, I've not heard of that one.
Right. Well, the Alpha Course is an extremely popular course worldwide. It's on, you know, the sides of buses and bus stops and, you know, placards all over London and Britain and other countries. Very popular in America, Africa. Anyway, the course originates in Holy Trinity, Brompton, in South Kensington, which is an Anglican church. And the ministers there speak in tongues, and a central part of the course is the weekend where the people go away and speak in tongues. It's called the Holy Spirit weekend, where they'll go away and people will specifically ask for the gift of speaking in tongues. And it's a very euphoric weekend. I went with Holy Trinity Brompton. I had the privilege of going on one of these Alpha courses with them. And it was the time, it was a time when people spoke in tongues for the first time. And really, it changes their lives. Mm. It sort of, it opens the doorway to the spiritual reality. And, you know, once people have entered into that doorway, they soon recognize that the spiritual and the supernatural world is very much just as real as the physical, tangible world.
Yeah. I wonder if you could tell me if when people go away for this weekend, whether the ministers use laying on of hands to encourage the people to speak in tongues for the first time.
Yes, there will be the laying on of hands for that, although the general gist of it is, as I remember, it was a case of the vicar, Sandy Miller at the time, who is now Bishop Sandy Miller, and Nicky Gumbel, who's the author of the Alpha Course. It's him now who stands at the front with his hands sort of upright in a in an open position and prays a very simple prayer that the people would receive the gift of speaking in tongues and asks God for that gift, and then sort of over the next few minutes just simply asks, "More Lord, more Lord." And you just see people all over the building starting to break out in tongues, and also holy laughter, which is another phenomenon that has taken place in that particular church.
Mm. Laughter is an accepted way of producing trance, speaking from a psychological point of view. It's this trance state in which people easily learn to speak in tongues and pray in tongues.
Yeah.
So I think the laughter is perhaps a fairly useful way of teaching people. Yes, I haven't heard of that one, but that sounds right.
Yeah.
My experience of speaking in tongues was when I went to a church in Manila, to my sister-in-law's church, and they had a wonderful setup, really. They had a choir and some musicians and a projector projecting words of hymns on a screen, so the people were singing for quite a long time, and then the minister gradually turned the attention to speaking in tongues, and the congregation were then able to join in. It was a very emotional service. I found it all. It was a religious service, but at the same time, the speaking in tongues was very much in evidence all the time. It was so different to the normal church services which I am used to. I was married in a charismatic church, and well, it was the cathedral in Manila, and this was about 10 years ago, but they had flag waving and dancing as part of the service, which
yes.
But they didn't have speaking in tongues at the church, but they would use speaking in tongues at prayer services and Bible readings, that sort of thing. In fact, a minister in London came to my house on one or two occasions and for prayer meetings, and he was speaking in tongues in order to encourage some of the people there. There was only about half a dozen of us, but nobody started to speak in tongues. But that's the way that church operates.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think what it does is it circumnavigates that which is the usual precedent, especially in the West, you know, since the 1500s, when the Enlightenment period started, reason replaced faith. We've been biased towards the cerebral in the West, and this circumnavigates the cerebral, and it enters into that realm that we don't understand, the supernatural realm that can't be quantified or controlled in quite the same way. So I think there's something liberating in tongues, and liberating in that, you know, we have to submit to that supernatural realm and that higher authority, and the fact that we are in fact in need of that. For me personally, anyway, that's the sort of the beauty of speaking in tongues, you know, the privilege. I mean, the scriptures say that it edifies, that when we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith.
Yes. Well, it's a matter of completely sidestepping the consciousness and reverting to childhood speech, which is what some people say that speaking in tongues is. But it does enable the individual to contact God, if you like to put it that way. I mean, it's called praying in tongues. It's
Yes. I have a friend who's an Irish evangelist, and he phones me up and starts off in tongues, and very often will go into baby talk. It's quite peculiar for someone to, you know, to sort of anyone listening to it who doesn't quite understand our relationship would think that it was he was the most peculiar. But I've got to say that I find it very liberating, and I just find it I thoroughly enjoy that type of conversation now and then. You know, it's complete abandonment, and I'm all for it.
Yes, I've never heard of that that way of using speaking in tongues, but it does presumably sort of brings people together, as it were, even on the telephone, which you would not do in perhaps in normal conversation.
Yes, and an interesting thing is that in those times, sometimes, you know, as he's gone into tongues, I can think of there have been times where the emotion, I mean, for example, recently a friend of ours died, and it was sad. But as we spoke on the phone, we had a serious conversation, and then we went into tongues as we prayed at the concluding of the conversation. You know, we went into prayer, and that prayer went into tongues. And the tongues then went into this sort of this other, well, it's still tongues, but a peculiar sort of tongues, with laughter and baby talk and that sort of thing. And what was being conveyed was the raw emotions that we were feeling, that you really can't, that words just couldn't get to. Words couldn't reach that deep, I don't think. In those expressions and sounds, emotions were being conveyed, you know.
Yeah, yes. No, I find that very wonderful. I've never heard of that sort of thing before, but I can imagine how it's sort of relieved the emotion and tension of talking about someone's departure.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's really good. Now, the particular interest of mine in speaking in tongues is where people have a sudden ecstatic or mystical experience, generally as they learn to speak in tongues. And this does happen, I think, perhaps fairly often. And it is that which people remember for life and brings them back to a charismatic church.
Yes, yes. One of the ladies in our congregation was telling the story recently of when she first spoke in tongues. And it followed a trip that she'd made to a charismatic church service on a Sunday evening. And she'd asked for the gift of speaking in tongues, and other people had received that gift during the service. And she went away very disappointed that she hadn't received that gift. And then on the Wednesday of the following week, she was just going about, she was doing the dishes. And all of a sudden, without even thinking of it, it just started to well up inside of her, and it came out in tongues. This beautiful gift of tongues manifested, and she started to weep, was filled with joy, and it was really a pivotal point in her life. And there was a deep understanding that even though we don't always understand the timing of God, he's there in the mundane, in the ordinary. And just as that service was charged with a lot of human emotion, and just as her kitchen wasn't charged in that same way, the Spirit of God was nonetheless authentic and manifested in her through the speaking of tongues.
Yes. Yes, I know that sort of thing does happen. I have read that people can have this sudden experience of speaking in tongues away from church, and it is really what would be called a mystical experience in which the person concerned contacts their God, and that's a wonderful thing. And it is that experience which people remember because it was a wonderful and rather beautiful experience, and it's that which keep people coming back to the charismatic and Pentecostal churches.
Yes, indeed. One of the things that is a hallmark of the churches that are growing is the ability to speak in tongues. It's a strange phenomenon, but it's worldwide and it's grown at a remarkable pace.
Yes. Of course, my interest in this is the supernatural realm, which you mentioned early on, and that includes healing very often. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about some of the healing in your church.
Yes, certainly. I'd be very pleased to, Richard. We have, I was educated formally in my bachelor's in theology at London Bible College. I was educated in a formal environment, and decided to submit myself to what the scriptures were teaching, rather than what the traditions of the church were teaching in the area of healing, etc. I mean, at the end of Mark's gospel, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. For example, they shall speak in new tongues is part of that same chapter. And so I decided that speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, even though at times I didn't understand that, even though at times I couldn't quantify what the Bible was teaching. Jesus was saying things like, you can speak to your mountain. Faith as big as a mustard seed can move a mountain. Well, of course, it doesn't make any sense at all. But I decided to submit my mind to what the Bible was saying. And I found that there's great power when we do that. And if we humble ourselves and really genuinely follow what the scriptures are teaching, we've seen tremendous things take place in our church. Within 6 months of being in full-time ministry, we were on the front page of newspapers across Britain. Mm-hmm. Front page newspaper headlines, just testifying to the miracles that are taking place in the church. And those miracles haven't stopped. I mean, just every week we have more testimonies of people. You know, I was speaking, for example, in Cheshire, at a church in Cheshire. They'd heard about these healings and they'd invited me down to speak. And I spoke on love, actually, because it's the love of God that's the source of these healings. Because he loves people. He wants the best for people. And one of these people came forward at the end and they said, look, we want prayer I want prayer for my hearing. I haven't been able to hear in this ear since childhood. But you know, do you think God could heal me? I said, of course he can, and he wants to. And I placed my finger close to his ear, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed, body, Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And there's a sound of a crackling sound, and all of a sudden his ear sort of popped, and he looked amazed. He looked at me, he looked around, he said, I can hear. And he started to weep, and his wife was with him, and there was, you know, a commotion. And he said, I can hear people the other side of the room, I can hear. And, you know, just that's just one testimony of many testimonies. One lady was brought before me at a full gospel businessman's meeting at the Oak Hotel in Wigan. And she was carried before me. She'd had a stroke 2 years before. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She'd had a stroke. And they put her before me at the end of my sermon. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. My first thought was, well, what on earth am I going to do now? And then I went straight to the scripture. And I thought, well, it's not my power, it's his power through me, and he can do all things. Faith as big as a mustard seed. And I said, the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. So I laid my hands on her. I ministered healing in Jesus' name. And that stroke melted from her body. That's the only way I can describe it. Her face was contorted and stiff on one side. And that started to melt back into normal, a normal formation. Mm-hmm. And the people on one side of the room started to clap and cheer. And then she stood up, and the people on the other side of the room started to clap and cheer. And she held her hands up, and she started to thank God. Mm-hmm. It was the most, it was just awesome.
Yeah, that is a wonderful story. And spiritual healing is all due to the love and emotion felt by the healer, the minister in your case, but it comes from God and from the congregation. It is the general emotion in the church, I think, which very much adds to the power of the healing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It says in the scriptures that God inhabits the praises of his people, and there is this wonderful power in corporate prayer. So, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the speaking in tongues raises the emotional tension in the members and the church. I know that because I've felt it when I've been to a charismatic church. And it's those things which is the reason why people go back to the charismatic churches, and the congregations are increasing all the time.
Yes.
Which is very good.
Yes, there's a spiritual authenticity there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen, well, that's been very nice to talk to you about these things. I think maybe people would like to see your website, which is livingfaithchurch.org.uk. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And there are some, you'll see some links as well if you go to YouTube. And if you were to go to YouTube and type my name, Stephen with a V, Lynn, L-Y-N, Evans in, you'll see me praying for people, at times casting out demons, praying for the sick. You'll see legs growing out. You'll see all sorts of wonderful things that God is doing through our ministry.
Ah, yes. I'll have to have a look at that. And maybe some of my listeners will do as well. And they may like to follow Tom Brown Ministries, which have their website as well.
Yes, indeed. TBM.org, TomBrownMinistries.org. Yes.
Ah, right.
Excellent website.
Well, thank you again, Stephen. And
thank you, Richard. Lovely to talk with you.
Yes, indeed. We've been on for 29 and a half minutes.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, thank you then. Goodbye.
God bless, Richard. Bye-bye.
And that was the minister, Stephen Evans, who leads Christian worship in the same way as the early disciples, as told in the Bible. While many Christians do not understand and criticize, The fact is that these churches are on the increase, and many people are realizing that praying in tongues enables them to really experience the Christian faith in a way that they could not do otherwise. I'd like now to go into some detail of the way that these churches differ from conventional churches. I once went to a service which was completely organized to induce the state of mind necessary to pray in tongues. On the face of it, the service was a standard Christian service with a preacher, hymns and sermon, but with many important differences. It was not in a beautiful old building, but in a hired hall in Manila. The first thing I noticed was the welcome, not by the priest, but by a devout lady inquiring earnestly about me and saying how welcome I was in a very homely sort of way. Then when I got inside, I noticed that there were many children and that they were not organized, but they were playing just as they would at home. When the service started, I noticed that there was a small band of two guitars and drums and a choir of two ladies with microphones. The loudspeakers were at the rear of the hall and were very loud, with a large screen at the front on which the words of the hymns were projected. But the hymns all ran into one another, they were all in the same key, with no announcements for perhaps 20 minutes. The band then gradually started to play in a monotonous way, while the preacher interjected with praise and hallelujahs. This was not sort of that unfamiliar, but the effect was a strange, rather oppressive sense of emotion. The preacher then gradually changed from praise to speaking in tongues, to which the children seemed perfectly oblivious, but the standing congregation quietly absorbed these prayers with arms outstretched. Some were speaking quietly to themselves, but they were all feeling the spiritual ecstasy of the situation. One thing I did notice is that there were fans in the ceiling which were placed in front of the lights, so that the fan blades caused a flickering of the lights. It appeared to me that they were deliberately arranged to flicker at low alpha rhythm in order to help induce deep trance. Then, after some while, there was a fairly standard sermon followed by announcements and a closing hymn. Presumably, they had separate first initiation services in the same way as the Alpha program that Stephen told us about. I went to the charismatic Cathedral of the Kings several times in Manila, where there was over 1,000 people to a normal Sunday service, but there was no sign of speaking in tongues during those services, although I suppose some were praying in that way during the hymns, I think. Clearly, a sort of self-hypnosis and prayer encouraged a deep sense of worship, which is so often absent in other churches. Unfortunately, religious extremism can result from glossolalia, causing criticism or antagonism between churchgoers. But the fact remains that tongues can bring on a euphoric enlightenment or mystical experience, which will be remembered permanently, and will bring about better self-assurance and purpose in life. These experiences were noted in early Egyptian writings, and Plato and Virgil spoke about similar experiences, so these are clearly not only Christian experiences, but have been normal for all time, not paranormal. But of course, at first sight, speaking in tongues is often thought to be very paranormal. My thanks to Stephen Evans for coming today. This is Richard Allibone signing off from webtalkradio.net. I hope you found today's show to be of interest. Bye for now.